Blog Talk Radio.
One hold, and then I'll be right back with you.
It's your life, not a religion. It's a decision. This is your life. Not about losing. It's about choosing. This is your life.
God was not just about us becoming good church people. He was looking for superpowers. He meant for us to become superpowers of the kingdom. More than conquerors means
you don't have the power. You can turn pain into power. This is your chance. This is your fight. This is your life. Hey, life. This is your life.
Well, welcome to another week of amazing prayer with Dr. Paula Price, the Hour of Prayer Power. We are welcoming you to our new system and to another week with where God is going to do amazing, amazing things as he has always been doing. Dr. Price is here live in Tulsa, and she is geared up and ready to pray for you all and bring forth the word of the Lord. So what I'm going to do is kick it over to her. And then she will give you her opening, her exhortation, whatever God has given her to say to you in this hour. And then we're going to go to our first caller. So, Dr. Price, welcome to your show. How are you doing today?
Yeah, I know. I got a show now. Isn't that exciting? I started out, 8 months ago, and I had a call-in. Now, I don't have just a call-in telephone line. I have a show because my very strategic team here in Tulsa has put me up on Blog Talk Radio. Some of you all know it. I absolutely love my team. I love young people because they're innovative. You know, they're like, well, why not? So I'm excited about that. This is our first go at it. So all of the kinks will probably be worked out by the third time we use this. But nonetheless, I'm excited about it. I'm glad to have you on the line today. I tell you, guys, I miss you all when I'm not there. There is something that God is doing between us, you who call in week, my regulars, my new ones. There is something that God is doing between us, between your spirit and my spirit. There's some things that he's working out, but that he is birthing. I cannot tell you how much it means to me to have you call, but to talk with you and for us to get together and sit at the Lord's table and eat some bread from him and all of that. So that is just, it's just powerful. And I'm going to keep saying it, so if I sound like I'm, you know, drooly and gushy because I'm in love with you, you better know that I am, because you all mean so much to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have no idea. I mean, he thinks about you from week to week. I know that because he prepares me for these calls by talking to me about you, sometimes just what your issues are, sometimes what he wants to say, but he always does it. So don't think that this is just an exercise and just you trying to reach out and no help. That's not true. God is concerned about you. He's interested in your needs. But the most important thing he wants me to let you know, and that is God needs you to conquer. He needs you to conquer all, not even just attempt. In this season, God's going to take us, the church, from attempting to conquering. Because it is time for us to conquer. And so, and many of you, you've got great visions and enormous dreams, and you know it's God. You know, it doesn't make a difference how difficult it is, how hard it's been for you to get it off the ground and to keep people interested and to move it forward. You nonetheless know that it is God. And because you know it's God, you can't put it down. He's got this thing, and some of you on the call today, just so stuck up in your soul, you can't sleep without dreaming about it, eat without thinking about it. It's driving your life, and that's what visions are supposed to do. Over the next couple of weeks, I want to talk to you about the power of a vision, because sometimes we don't know how great it is that God put a vision in our heart. And we're going to talk about how the church frustrates vision, you know, because they will definitely try to separate you from it. And so we're going to talk about that as we go on. But I want you to know that God's will for you is to always conquer. And not only conquer, but to be that more than conqueror. God needs you to win. He needs you to win at your job, your home, your school, your family, your friends, your church, your ministry, your community, your government. God needs you to win. And if, when you call here because you know that, and you want to hear me tell you just a little bit more of his winning strategy for your vision. And I'm excited about that. So, hey, I'm done. I'm excited. You can see I'm thrilled. I'm on the Blog Talk Radio here. I'm thrilled. But now I'm ready to take calls. So who do we have?
Okay, we have our first caller today is Lisa, and she is requesting prayer and guidance and direction for her spiritual walk. So, Lisa, welcome to the show. Why don't you tell Dr. Price what's on your heart today and how she can help you?
Hi. Good afternoon, Dr. Price. I just want this prayer for direction and guidance, and lately all of a sudden I've been having like a spirit of fear just grip me in my belly that I just started like a couple of days ago or maybe even yesterday, because of what God is doing in my life and just to be able to move forward. And I've been wanting God to just to go forward in God, and now it's like all of a sudden fear has just like gripped me. And
okay.
I just want to go forward in him.
All right. Well, Lisa, where are you calling me from?
I'm calling you from Connecticut.
Connecticut. Is it cold up here, Lisa?
It's not bad. It's not too bad. You know, the snow's melting.
Well, you guys are kind of used to it.
Yeah.
Lisa, what is it that God has just called you in to do? You're embarking upon something. What is it?
Well, God, I have visions and dreams, and I just want, you know, I want clarity. It's so much that, you know, spiritually, and God is unveiling to me in the supernatural. So,
are you in school?
I'm sorry?
Are you in school?
No, I go to ministry school.
That's what I was fitting in. And what type of school do you go to? What are you doing in your school? Are you going to school to be the altar worker, to be the deacon, to be the prophet, to be the intercessor? What?
Evangelism.
Evangelism. Okay. And I'm asking for some specific reasons because we're going to partner on this journey here for a few moments. So you go to school, and now a few days ago you got a word from whom? Did you get a word from someone, or did you get prayer?
Some days ago it was Juan.
Excuse me?
I don't know how to pronounce her name, but it was...
But it doesn't matter, but somebody prayed for you a couple of days ago, is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then they gave you a word when they prayed for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you see I'm working with you.
They did give it to me, but I've been gripped by fear. I don't know where this fear has come from.
Right. And a couple of things happened to you there. That's why I'm asking you, because you're going to school for evangelism. You're having a lot of visions and dreams. Are these visions and dreams about you doing evangelistic work? Is that what you're saying? I mean, in a nutshell.
No, I see what's going on. We have a starting a prophetic.
A what?
Things doing with the prophetic, like
okay.
Intercession, learning about the prophetic. Intercessor.
Okay, so here's what's happening, because that's what I wanted to hear you tell me. A couple of things you need to do. Number one, I do want you to take my assessment. You know, it's at drpaulaprice.com. Get on that. I want you to take it. And when you take it, then you're going to get, it comes with a 30-minute advisement with one of my prophetic advisors. They're going to walk you through it and help you fine point what I'm about to say. Today, I'm only going to be able to give you just some brush strokes, some broad strokes as to what God is doing. But you need that. You know, roll up your sleeves, now I know what to do and where to walk kind of information. So that's what the assessment is going to give you. I want you to do that because you're at a threshold in your life. Now, this threshold that you're in has to do with a couple of things. You're not a person that especially chased Jesus as a kid. You know, you were, I want to live my life, I want to have fun. Matter of fact, you're a pretty fun-loving lady. And so for God to grip you like this is a new thing. And generally speaking, fun-loving people like to be free. In other words, they like to be unencumbered. They want to make their own decisions. They want to move in the moment, act on what they want. That's what they like to do. And so you are now coming into a place where God is putting you on what he called, what Scripture calls that narrow road. You're coming into that tight spot. You do not like it. And it's not even that people said it so much as that you feel God saying, okay, it's like that kid outside. It's time to come in now. It's time to come in. Okay, summer's over. You've got to go back to school. You've got to get, all right, we've got to get back to routine life. Vacation's over, whichever way we want to call it. So you and God are in that place right now where he is calling you into a narrow place that you don't especially like. Now, this is not because you don't want to serve God, because you do. It's not even that you don't even love him, because, well, you really do. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking today. But the issue is, you and God are coming into that tight spot. And so this word that you got let you know that spot is getting tighter. There are decisions that you're going to have to make. You don't like to make them because you want to please everybody, because you like life to work out. Life should work out for everybody. So you want to work, you want to work, make it work out. I mean, goodness. This person can do that. I can give 2 hours here. I can do this. I got this manageable. But God has scared you in your sleep. And that's what that fear is. When he starts moving with us, he begins to deal with our souls. And he starts breaking through that veil between the spirit and the soul so that he creates a channel for himself that he can speak and say what he wants and work it in our souls at will, according to his will. And so that's what the fear is. And so, but that fear is something else. And I think you're going to like this. The fear is also awe. You have met a new dimension of the Lord. So you're moving into awe. God is becoming, you're like, and even if you don't mentally know what's you're feeling as far as being awed by him, your soul knows. Because whether people like it or not, the soul knows the Creator. And so your soul knows that. And so the Lord is speaking to you, telling you what you're going to do, letting you know how you're going to do it in your soul language. Your soul is trying to now translate that into your mental language, your intellectual language. And that's that restlessness you feel. That's that jitteriness, that I want to get out of my skin. I want, you know, that's what that's all about. But that's your soul literally processing what the Holy Spirit has told you is going to happen in his, from his world, in your language, in the language of your makeup. Each one of us are coded to hear God a different way. So you're going through that. That's why school is so important. I began asking you about school, Lisa, because school is important to you. You are not the person who doesn't want to see her way. You want your flashlight in the storm. You want your headlights on the road. You want to see your way. And so the more you see it, the more it makes sense. But you do need a very strong mentor, an intercessor, and a confidant to get you through, because you are making, you're putting, literally putting natural language to all of this spiritual download that God has been giving you. He's now, you know, you're just getting natural languages to try to come up, and you know it. It's coming up in dreams, little snatches. They're dreams that are not even really dreams. They're not even really dreams. They're like clips, like snatches. So God is telling you, stay in a journey. You're on the right track. You're going to have about 2 or 3 stumbles where you're going to almost slip, but you won't fall. You will not fall. And so he says, so stay in a dream. It's going to be dark for you for a little bit, but he meets you in the dark, because the minute your mind takes hold of something, you take over. That's because you're naturally go-getter, make it happen, do it woman. So that's where you and God are.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you, Lisa?
Yes, that makes so much sense to me. Thank you so much.
Well, let me pray now, because, see, we can't leave you out there on a limb. You know, I got to bring you in, girl.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So you can feel at peace. Because, really, God says to tell you, this is going to work out. I know the other things got stalled, you got setbacks, but this particular thing that he's giving you to do, it will work out. So you can take a deep breath, you can inhale, you can exhale, and get ready to be led by the Spirit of God. But God won't, you won't miss it. I promise you, you will not miss it at all in this thing. And so I want to pray. Father, thank you in Jesus' name for who you are. Thank you for Lisa, for who she is to you. And Lord, the journey you brought her on. I thank you, God, that she is moving by your Spirit, and she's truly wanting to be led by your Spirit. Now, I'm asking you to give her a hunger for the Word. The first thing she needs, God, is a hunger for the Word. Then I'm asking you to give her that trusted mentor that is that is compatible with her and her uniqueness, even one that understands her unique journey on how she got to where she is, first to the Lord and then into training for his service. And so, God, I thank you for that. I'm asking that you would bless her family, bless her young ones. Lord, bless her work, her schooling, but most of all, God, bless her understanding to connect with you and to know what you need and what you're doing in her life in Jesus' omnipotent name. I bless you. Now, Lisa, don't forget, I want you to get that assessment, and this prayer, along with the rest of this call, will be available for download later on today so you can hear it again.
Okay,
all right,
thank
who's
you
next?
So much.
You're welcome, wonderful. Who's next?
All right, Dr. Price, wow, we have Emma on the line. Now, she has a very interesting predicament that she is in. She was told by a few people, and she'll give you the details, that she needs to leave her church or her literal life may come to an end. And so she's going to fill you in on those details. Emma, welcome
yes.
to the show.
Thank you.
Ooh. Okay, well, Emma, I appreciate a challenge, and I can honestly say you have given me one today. Bless
hey,
your heart.
I try.
And hey, you succeeded. where are you calling me from today?
Connecticut.
Connecticut. Okay, so I must need to visit out there in Connecticut to see what's going
on.
Come on down. You said, come on down. Bless the Lord. Okay, so Emma, we're going to spend just a few moments walking through your situation
okay.
because I am not one who's quick to tell a sheep to leave their church.
Right.
So that's not an easy thing for me to do. But I'm not going to make a judgment call on those that did until I know what's going on
mm-hmm.
because they know something about your life that I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little about your church without naming your pastors or anything like that because this is not what this is about. This is about you and
right.
not about them. So tell me a little bit about your church.
It is a true apostolic church by every
okay.
sense of the word. God moves ridiculously there. I would say everything that the Apostolic Church is about, the church that I attend is about.
Okay, as far as you understand it.
Yes.
Okay. Now, tell me a little bit about your pastors. What is it that they – no, back up. Scratch that question. We're going to table that for later.
Okay.
Tell me, what provokes people to come out of the blue and say something like that to you?
Honestly, I don't know because the one person has said it didn't come to me. It came to me through a family member, and it's a family member who said it, who I haven't seen or talked to in over 15 years.
So are they a prophet or what?
As far as I know, I don't know. Like I said, I haven't seen them, haven't spoken to them, so I don't know to say why, why that message came to me.
Well,
another person. They,
okay, finish your thought and then tell me.
Okay, and the other person, I was in a Christian bookstore, and I was just there looking for a book on numbers and symbols in the Bible. And, they said, come on in back. We had some real, real good Bible study. And then in the middle of him, giving his teaching, he just stopped talking and just said, you need to leave the church where you go to.
And does he know you?
No.
Okay. So did he know your church? Did you tell him?
No.
Church? Okay. So now we're getting closer to seeing what's going on. What is it that your what are your pastors like? Are they? Do you have a husband and wife team? Are they young? Are they middle aged? Are they older?
Well, I would say, not really middle aged, but they're younger than me. But
okay.
She's phenomenal. That's the only word I can use is that she is phenomenal. She makes you think. She is God just moves like I can't say no other word. Just say God just moves crazy through this lady.
Okay.
I love it.
Okay, and so here's a couple of things I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you to talk to me about these pastors. Look, when the call is over, but I want to talk to you about this. You've got this word, and you say it came from two people. Which one of them told you it was a life or death situation?
It came from three people. One was a person. He goes to a denominational apostolic church, so right away he doesn't believe in the fivefold at all.
Okay.
And I believe
in an apostolic church.
Right.
Okay.
And The other one is an uncle, but like I said, I've not seen him in over 15 years. So, you know, and he that's my mom's brother, so she talked to him, and so I don't know. You know, I guess she was just sort of bragging on you know what I, you know me moving forward in ministry, and he just came out and said that to her, and so she called me and told me.
And then the third person is who?
The third person was just a person who works at a Christian bookstore.
Okay, that was the guy at the Christian bookstore and the
yes.
uncle, but you said there was a third person.
The third person is the person who's a member of the Apostolic Denominational Church.
Okay, I'm there. All right. And so and now we know that you stumbled upon the Christian bookstore person.
Right.
The uncle instigated the word. Now, did he say he got it through a dream or a feeling or what?
Like I've not talked to him. Like I said, this is a message that came to me through my mother. She called
okay,
me and said, after talking to him, this is what he told her.
Okay, and then the other. So here's the thing that I do know. When each one of them had just told you to leave the church, they didn't tell you why, they didn't tell you what would happen to you. They just said, you need to leave the church that you're in. And this is three different people on three different occasions.
Mm-hmm. In the same week.
In the same week. And so where did you go to church before that?
I was in a Baptist church.
All right, so okay, we're having fun now. I'm getting where I want to go. Just work with me. I really am getting where I want to go. I'm going to pray, first of all, to bring this into full clarity, and then we're going to talk. Father,
okay.
Thank you so much for Emma. Thank you for, Lord, even for pulling her up out of the miry clay and bringing her into your truth, into your light, and into your revelation. God, I thank you for her life and the life of her family. Lord, she comes from good stock and a great family tree. So we just thank you. We bless that family in Jesus' name. Now, God, I thank you for opening up my understanding to how this thing played out in each one of these messengers. God, if they're your messenger, then let me see how they were dispatched by you to give her this word. And if not, Lord, then let's reveal what's in the darkness that she can act on the light. And I thank you, Father, for doing it in Jesus' omnipotent name. A couple of things. So are you panicked? Are you sick or something like that, Emma?
Well, I've been kind of sick ever since October.
Okay, with some sort of sickness, or is it an ailment or a disease?
Well, right now, like I had to go get x-rays today, and I go back this afternoon, so I'm hoping to get some understanding because I'm tired of taking different medicines to, you know, no
to
avail. Nothing's happening.
Okay. I have just one last question for you, and that
mm-hmm.
is, have you ever or are you or has anyone in your family ever been involved in the occult?
I've never been. If someone has in my family, I don't know it.
Well, I tell you, because when I prayed, I saw your family's pretty much a Christian family. So
okay.
I would have been, you know, surprised if you had said that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a couple of things. You said you just left where you were.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are going to a church, and I don't, right now at this point, I'm not picking up that church is in any kind of a mess. I'm not picking up any of that. I pick up that they're young.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how old the church is, but I pick up that they're young,
mm-hmm.
that they're stabbing in the dark, and that they're moving largely on charismata, and that God is birthing that church.
Mm-hmm.
God is, you know, he's giving it that new, I don't know how old the church is, but this move that they're in is new.
Yeah.
They've got this new baby charismatic thing going on, you know, where God is just, you know how God does when he
mm-hmm.
starts a new thing. He just rains on it. And so I'm picking up that they're new and that there's a lot of things that they are going to learn. I also am picking up that in their development, not because of judgment, but for development, they're going to go through some real rocky times and some real changes because God wants them rooted in the word of truth and the foundations of what he wants for them. So, and that has nothing to do with their being sinners or anything like that, because as far as I can see, God is pleased. What I do see is that you're growing and that when you're growing, it is not uncommon for whatever spirit that held you in the dark that long to not
mm-hmm.
want to let go.
Mm-hmm.
And don't think that just because things come ethereally that they're God, just because they come invisibly or imperceptibly, God is the only one that speaks, you know, sight unseen. So
mm-hmm.
I get that you need to wait on the Lord. If God tells me that in 6 weeks you're going to know his will and his plan for your life. You're asking that. But this is also about you getting rooted and grounded in the truth and coming out of the old into the new.
Mm-hmm.
What I hear is that you have some serious seducing spirits and some serious retaliatory devils that are trying to pull you back into the old.
Mm-hmm.
And because whatever it was that you did for the old, it was useful. But more importantly, what's going to happen when God gives you this next level of deliverance is going to be powerful. Now, the reason that I think the timing is peculiar is this. You're not feeling well. You have this mysterious disorder. You don't know what it's about as yet. Yet you've come into the light. You've come into a church that you say is moving in all of this power and all of this anointing and all of this glory. So that means that if that's the case, then you need to stay in that church, because mm-hmm. if they discover some serious disorder, you need someone with strong prayer power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times when you tell people, I think the uncle just was biased. I think he just gave a biased statement. The guy with the Christian bookstore, I question that. I can talk to you about that later.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was just, again, biased. So you have two biased opinions to your old life coming up with this new one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't believe that that is what God wants you to do right now. And trust me, a church can't kill you. I mean, we got a lot of people in really bad churches who are doing really, really well. So you are kept by the power of God. So there's a panic button that the enemy wants to push in you. And
mm-hmm.
I would dare say that there's something about you that is still unresolved about this new move. As much as you're enjoying it,
mm-hmm.
as much as you're appreciating it, you have questions, and your questions are emitting this silent panic button. You have to be very careful. You know, in Jeremiah, it says in Jeremiah, I believe it's chapter 6, that God will give you even the fruit of your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And so you are obviously ambivalent still about this. It's good. It looks great. But you're waiting for the other shoe to fall. And you're waiting for the other shoe to fall because you're a pragmatist. You're like, it just can't be this good. My life cannot just change this easy, you know. And
mm-hmm.
so I want to say that. The next thing I want to tell you, and I say to everybody that's on the call today, let's not tie everything that happens in our personal lives to some spiritual conspiracy on the part of God or the devil.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always the case. Sometimes we're sick because we just made ourselves sick. Sometimes we ate too much of the wrong things, didn't exercise enough, gained too much weight, took off too much weight, probably too quickly. There are a lot of reasons that have nothing to do with, you know, our relationship with Jesus Christ or the church that we're in. But I would venture to say, Emily, you have unresolved issues about this move on your part. It's very different, and you're still looking to get settled in it. And because you are, and I can probably stretch and say that you've even made comments to your mom that were picked up on for those spirits that don't want you to come into the new move to continue to haunt you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I hear from the Spirit of God. That's why I ask you those questions, because it sounds to me like what you left is calling you back.
Yeah, makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
And it's new to you. So here's what I'm going to say. Hang tough.
Okay.
A church can't kill you. I can say that by the Spirit of the living God. Church can't kill you. Because if Jesus Christ can't keep you, it doesn't make a difference what pew you sit in. You are out of the planet.
Mm.
And so that's the first thing. Second thing, if God gave you that word and he gave it to you 3 times and didn't tell you where to go and how to get there,
exactly.
then I would be concerned. God is the Alpha and Omega. That means he's the first and the last, and he's a completer. Sometimes people get impressions and they think it's prophecy. And those people may be right, but we don't know what era. You don't have enough information to act on. The Lord would never give you a word that you can't act on.
All right.
So you're going to go and you're going to come from under a church, and you're just going to sit out there wandering off in the wilderness when he says sheep without a shepherd is already under judgment?
Mm.
He's not going to do that to you. So you have got to just sit tight until God sends the rest of this word. You just say, well, God, if it's you, you're going to confirm it. If it's you, you're going to tell me where to go. If it's you, you're going to let me know how to get there. I have walked with the Lord Jesus since 1981, and I have never gotten a word from him that I couldn't act on. And see, that's the problem with a lot of spirituality. When you've got that free-floating spirituality out there, everybody's picking up something because those channels are open. And everybody's picking up something, the past, the present, the future, the new, the old, the newcomer, the veteran, everybody's picking up a little something.
Mm-hmm.
But God is the one that created it all. And what bothers me about this word is that you get nothing but panic. You don't get direction. And
right.
God is going to lead. He's the shepherd of the flock. He's going to lead you. He said, he leadeth me beside still waters. So if he hasn't led you to do anything else, you shake this off and get on with God, because I do believe that it's very much tied to the disorder that he's trying to sow in your flesh. We're going to pray that off today. And it's a seduction to get you to come out of the old, which means your call and your fulfillment of your purpose on the planet are in the new.
Mm.
and so we can get you out of the old. You realize a lot of people who are fighting the new thing God wants to do will never fulfill destiny. They occupy a place in the kingdom, but they will never fulfill destiny because your destiny is often tied to your geography and your locale.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want you to think about that. God brought you out to bring you into destiny, and your destiny is a rich destiny, and it's called to go and win much fruit. But you're going to have to reconcile in your heart that this is God for you now. It may not be God for you for 15 years, but we live one day at a time. So one day at a time, 1 month at a time, 1 week at a time. I just don't get it. I was trying to listen. I listened to all that you said. I asked you those questions to hear more from God. I don't get that those words came from the Lord Jesus Christ. I just don't. I got that those words came from the spirit that ruled where you were.
I'm happy about that because it takes a weight off, because I kept saying, well, where am I keep hearing this, so where am I going to go? And I've been praying, and the Lord had not been saying where I'm supposed to go. So I'm not going
to
leave church and sit home.
You're not supposed to. But this was your call. It's one of those exceptional lab calls that I use in my classes when I train prophets.
Mm-hmm.
How, wait a minute, you know, a lot of prophets got a lot to say. But you know what? God is only going to back God. But you can only know how to obey God by knowing his character. And that takes time and that takes attention. And so I'm telling you, I don't get it. I've looked around the sphere of your life. I'm looking around the sphere of your life. God is silent, as if he's at peace with where you are right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no discomfort whatsoever. So you can rest assured that that's a familiar spirit trying to pull you back into the old, because you're about to hit a stride in the destiny. That destiny is the reason you were put on the planet.
I'm excited.
You should be, sweetheart, because you're in a good place. I don't get that there's anything wrong with those pastors or anything wrong with that church, other than the fact that they're going to grow. And it's going to be a burgeoning church. They're going to grow, but it's going to cost them a lot more than they imagine, as greatness does. Greatness costs a lot. That's why greatness has a great price, see, because it's going to give you a great reward. Let me pray for you, sweetheart, and I'm going to pray for your health, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Father, thank you in Jesus' name for who you are. God, I thank you for all that you're doing in your church. I thank you, Jesus Christ, that it is your testimony, that it's the spirit of prophecy. I thank you that it's all about you. Now, God, I lift up Emma to you. The first thing I do is lift up her health. I speak to that disorder in her body, every growth, every unclean thing. I curse it at the root. I command it to dry up, to shrivel up, and die in Jesus' name. I put her chemical back online with created design, God, and I thank you that you give her an appetite for the foods and the nutrition that will heal her and put her back in good working order for your glory. I also thank you, Lord, for her church. I ask that you cover that church with the blood of the Lamb. I'm asking, Lord, that you protect those pastors, because apparently this assault is as much against them as it is against her. So, God, I cancel the apostolic assassination assault against that church and against those pastors. I send those assassin spirits to the pit of hell in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I loose the angels of protection and the angels of progress and the angels of strength to protect that church and its leaders. Keep their eyes open, their ears peeled, God, and use them mightily in this hour. I break every curse that's been dispatched against that work in Jesus' name. I sit in my seat of authority, and I command every arrow to turn down to the ground and to fall through to the pit of hell. Lord, I loose this work to grow in that region, and I loose these pastors to have the best intercessors, prophets, and covering they can have. And, Lord, I thank you for Emma. I command her body to be made whole, and we settle her in as a comfy, cozy sheep. In Jesus' omnipotent name, let it be so. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Emma. That was a good call, and I'm glad that we had this conversation. And keep me posted on how you're growing over there, okay?
I will. Thank you.
Thank you, too. God bless you. Who's next?
Wow. That was pretty amazing, Dr. Price. You know, I have to take this moment to say, I know we all know you could probably blow through 30, 40 prayer requests in an hour and just kind of say the blanket patty cake prayers, but I really appreciate you taking the time to diagnose the situations as they come to you, kind of like that Moses judging the
Yeah, right.
They come to you.
Well, you know, it was so important, Ashley, because, you know, these apostolic churches automatically get assassinating spirits against them. They come, and they don't hit the leaders only. And if people don't tell the sheep that, hey, guys, this is a setup, this isn't real, they'll go through all kinds of nonsense, because that is the mantle that founded the church, that's the mantle that rooted the church. So this situation she has, those pastors are really under, and I'll put everybody on assignment on the call today to pray for those pastors, because those are young people doing the will of God. Who's next, prophet?
That's good. Okay, here's what we're going to do, Dr. Price. We're going to take a 90-second breather.
Good.
90 seconds, because you need a drink of water, don't you?
I do.
And so everybody hold tight. We're going to play a 90-second commercial spot here about the standardized ministry assessments Dr. Price referred to one of our other callers, and they are for everybody in the kingdom. So sit tight, 90 seconds. Dr. Price will be right back for the second half to handle some more prayer requests.
Would you like to take the guesswork out of discovering your calling and purpose by using one simple tool? PPM Global Resources Ministry Assessment Questionnaire offers a variety of solutions for all aspects of the ministry spectrum for people just like you who are seeking sound wisdom, direction, and guidance to help you get into your place. The Ministry Assessment Questionnaire is specially designed to identify and assess what God has put in you, whether you are called to a fivefold office or ministry gifting. Going beyond a personality test or gift survey, you'll learn about your strengths and weaknesses, emotional intelligence, ministry readiness and reliability, leadership capability, the right education you need, and so much more. Your Ministry Assessment Questionnaire comes with a 30-minute advisement session to review your assessment with one of our trained advisors, who will walk you through your results and customize the best plan of action for you. To get started now, go to ppmglobalresources.com and fill out your personal profile. Assess, advise, apply, achieve. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it.
Okay, and we are back. We're live. Dr. Price got to take that 30 seconds to take a breath herself. Okay, Dr. Price, we're going to go to Gwen. She is on the call. She actually called a year ago, was going through a very traumatic situation. Her son was murdered. I remember you, Gwen, calling in.
Okay.
And so she's going to check in with you, Dr. Price, and tell you what's going on right now and what she needs prayer for concerning her marriage.
Oh, man. Well, Gwen, I do remember you, because I thought you were, at the time that you called a year ago, you were also working through your grief by starting a ministry of sorts. Am I remembering correctly?
That's right. Well, actually, the ministry was already working.
Okay.
Yeah, it was already, the counseling ministry was already
right.
In progress, yes.
I remember that, and I thought, I was very impressed with the fact that you decided to process your grief through helping other people. I thought that was great. Now, Gwen, remind me, where are you calling from?
Fayetteville, North Carolina.
All right. See, I should have known that. But anyway, so tell me, here's what I want you to do. Tell me a little bit, just quickly, a few words about how you've been doing since then, and then let me know how I can bless you today.
Okay. I'm going to go just a little bit further back before my son was killed. I started having some issues in my marriage, and just let me just quickly share. My children are from my first marriage, and in 1987, I remarried, and I don't have any children from the previous marriage. And I remarried, and I moved here to North Carolina from Ohio. In the process, after a few years, things were going bad, and we were divorced. The church that I was in at the time is still there. At the time, it was of a Baptist denomination, but since then, we have moved out into apostolic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the midst of all of that, after being divorced, after a few years, maybe about 5 or 6 years, the husband wanted to reconcile.
Mm-hmm.
And so I counseled with my apostle, and he said he agreed, and he felt that God was trying to restore some things that had been taken from me during that process. And so we did. We reconciled. We remarried. Okay, and that was in 2008. Then the thing happened with my son. Well, right before that, my husband came to me and said, I want another divorce. You know, and I was like, well, here I am. My ministry, basically, all the people that I have counseled have been married people. And I can tell you, I've only had one couple that did not survive. They ended up in divorce, but everybody else worked right through everything. So I thought, well, okay, he was angry about something, and I thought it would just go away. Well, about 5 or 6 months after the ordeal with my son, he came back again with the same thing. And so I was pretty adamant because I know that he's going through some psychiatric treatment. He doesn't know that I know, but the Spirit of the Lord led me to something to let me see. And so I haven't mentioned to him that I know it. But I thought, well, okay, all of this is part of this mental thing that he's going through from his experience in Vietnam. And mm-hmm. So then he went and he got an attorney and tried to put me out of the house. And I was adamant. I said, I'm not going anywhere. I am not going. But I did seek legal advice. So I took the original divorce papers because I had forgotten that there was a clause in there that after he retired from his second, he retired from the Army, then he was retiring from Goodyear, that the judge had awarded me part of the retirement. And then as I began to process through this, I realized that he married me because he thought that he would stop me from getting that. So now he says, you're not entitled to anything. After 5 years, you're not entitled to anything. And so the lawyer told me, she said, that's not true. She said, this decree says that you're entitled to that. You're part of that retirement for life. And she says, as a matter of fact, he's in contempt of court. And so she said, what we need to do is file a contempt of court order so that you can start getting what's due you, and you'll be able to live like you need to live, because mm-hmm. I don't get any support from him other than him just paying mortgage and blah, blah, blah. And so we did go through that process, and I'm waiting now for it to start because mm-hmm. it was awarded to me. It was clarified that, oh, yes, she's due this. But now he's trying to fight the fact of the back pay. That's, you know, I didn't come back because I came back for anything that was impure. My motive was pure. I thought, okay, it'll work. Because he before was not in church, but he had started, he said he got saved and was attending a church. Not the same church that I attend. But that was fine. I was willing to work along and try to make things work, but it just seems like it's not working. And we are in the same house. He doesn't speak to me. He doesn't even talk to me. And I still have to do ministry. I am ordained. I am called. But it has just weighed very heavy on me that I am going through this process, and I believe eventually that I'm going to have to go again from here.
Well, a couple of things I want to say. Did he ask you, have you ask him what is it that makes him so disgruntled? Because it seems like he goes through seasons, from what you're telling me, he goes through seasons where he just wants change.
There were several things that took place. And,
okay, can you just give it to me in a nutshell so that we can, because I don't want to bump your call,
okay.
But I need to give it to me in a nutshell.
Okay. And I'll just put it like this. It was an intimate thing where there was something wrong with him, and I said to him that he needed to straighten this thing out.
And
he refused. And he felt, I guess he felt rejected, but it was not that. But just to let me share this with you, he was sleeping in the recliner chair for months. For months.
Wow. Well, here's what I will say to you. A couple of things. I think you're right. Ultimately, this is going to go through. I mean, he's not going to stop because to him, his answer to life is cut and run. That's just seems to be the way he was raised, and that's it. I'm going to tell you this, and hear me in the grace of what God is saying, but God got you out of it, and you got back into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, when the devil is cast out, and I'm not saying that about him, I'm giving you the concept of when the devil is cast out, you know, he goes, find some dry places, come back to where he was, and then it's seven times worse. So
yeah.
You have to recognize you made a decision to get back in this, and you did it for two reasons, as I can hear. Number one, because you didn't want to be divorced and you didn't want to be alone. That's normal, you know? So that's one thing. But the other thing is that you also thought it would help your ministry, that you'd have the right picture
right.
for your ministry. And see, those were not two good reasons to be married and to remarry somebody that didn't work the first time. You know, if you wanted the right picture, you probably wanted to get a whole new cast of characters. And so this is going to go crazy. I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to go crazy because he's having a meltdown. Something happened to destroy him, and if I knew it, I wouldn't tell you, but to begin to unravel his cage. So this is going to go through. But this is also going to go through because God did not want you to remarry him, and you knew that. Because you have great instincts. Counselors have amazing instincts. That's why they can counsel. And so you have great instincts, and you had that little nagging inkling, but you wanted it to work out right. The biggest thing that you and God are going to work on, because you are such a strong lady, and I mean, you are a woman that I admire. I said to you a year ago, I admire you, and I still admire you even more today for your stand and for your commitment. But you have to recognize that in our lives, we have to know when to stop trying to be the Holy Ghost. Only God can clean a soul. And if you're going to remarry somebody, and that's everybody's on the line, you're going to need God to tell you what he did in that soul, to know if that soul is clean or if that soul is just relaxing. A lot of times, and I'm going to say this about deliverance, a lot of times God will deliver, and so when he's delivered, it's like going in the kitchen and emptying the sink. You clean the dishes, the kitchen's clean because you put everything away. Well, everything's gone. But eventually that sink is going to be the same thing, because it's the same sink, and that's the purpose of it. And so God wants you to know that you're going to go through this journey because this was your decision, but that he's going to walk you through it. You will get your money. That's not a problem because your attorney sounds like a very savvy lady. So you will get your money. But you and God are going to have to come to terms with why you put yourself back in this. Because if not, you will make another decision in about 3 to 5 years based on the same cycle. He has his cycles, and you obviously are having yours. I'm going to pray for your peace. This marriage is not what's going to help you. You're going to have to bite the bullet and say, hey, you know what? In order for all these marriages that I helped to live, I had to sacrifice mine. Hey, that happens all the time. You know, doctors sacrifice children. You know, police officers sacrifice family. That's just the way it is. And sometimes success has some weird costs. But this is a cost that just had to happen. I mean, because he failed you once. There was no real sign that he wasn't going to fail you again. So these are logical things, and what I do hear is that this is going to be one of the things that seasons you so much for what God is using you to do that you're going to be able to really have great instincts to help other people walk through this. But, you know, I'm very rarely a fan of remarriage to the same person. I mean, I just don't know that is always a great thing. Now, I don't have enough experience in it to say, hey, yeah, your name, and I wouldn't make it a hard and fast rule, but I'm telling you that this situation – is going to go the distance, and I'm going to pray for you to get the grace out of it because, you know, once by grace, then by works. You know, God, by grace, got you out. Now you have to work it out as you get it out. And you're going to have to deal with the fact that we want you to get rid of the shame. This is no failure on your part. You know, we all could say, oh, man, if I had the information now, what I know now, then, boy, I wouldn't do this or that. Well, hey, that's part of being an adult, and that's part of us maturing in life. And part of that maturation process is deciding on our feelings when we should have decided with our head and vice versa. And in this case, you decided with your heart, and your head kind of was led by your heart, which is not something you do very easily. So I'm going to say to you, my beloved sister, that we're going to pray, A, for your money to get through, because you do need an economy. I'm not one of those people to think you ought not to get anything for time served, okay? I mean, if you serve time with this man, you ought to get something from it. If that is what the judge decreed, you're going to need it, because there is no reason why you need to be a poor, broke woman sitting on the street because he changed his mind. That's just insane. And we teach that a lot in the church because we are such a, well, that's all other issue. You are going to get your money because God wants to take care of you. And your ministry is going to do well. And if you did nothing with that money but threw it in the garbage, you earned it. That's all I know.
That's
you know,
right.
It's kind of like if you mess up with a job. I mean, you mess up with a job and they owe you your last paycheck. They don't care what. They got to pay you the last paycheck. You know, they probably
yes.
wish they didn't have to. But you're going to have to. When this is over, there is a visitation, my beloved, that you're going to have. And you and the Lord are going to have to confront this thing in your soul. And you're going to have to let him heal you, and you're going to have to let him reset your perspectives of how your life is going to go and marriage is going to go, and you're going to have to separate the success or failure of your marriage from your ministry because the two have nothing to do with each other.
Okay.
That was what
I've been going through for the last few days with just crying out to God
mm-hmm.
about me and my situation. And on last night, a spiritual mother of mine said to me, she says, you have been in God's face. I can look at you and tell. And
mm-hmm.
don't you worry, because everything is going to work out.
It's going to. It's going
and I believe that. It's just that, you know, it was a year ago, this month, March the 4th, that my
mm-hmm.
son was killed. And it just seemed like all of a sudden, everything just swooped down on me.
Yeah, it did.
Today.
And you know what? Because to whom much is given, much is required. You are obviously good at what you do. But I'm going to tell you something else. I want you to hear this. And I cannot. This is one of those things that I can say, I'm going to speak by the Spirit of God. Can I do that?
Yes.
When sometimes our connections, even our marital connections in times and seasons, can open us up to things that make our whole world vulnerable. I want you to remember that, because in
yes.
6 months, you and I are going to talk again, and we're not going to talk on the phone. And we're going to talk about this.
Okay?
I'm going to give you 6 months to get clean over this, to find your peace. I want you to write it in your calendar, because you're going to call in my office, and my team is going to have it on the book so that I'll remember, because, sweetheart, God is doing something in your soul. You're crying out to God, and you ought to. But God said, I need you to hear. I need you to call and hear. Not just come to me with your pain, come to me with your need to hear what I have to say. That God was a party to your life. He was a party to all of these decisions. We want him to be a party to the things we approve of. No, he's a party to it all. And he is always trying to bring his goodness and his greatness and his glory in you. You have a great call, a great anointing. There's got to be a reason why things like this keep trapping you. I know that reason. But you're not yet in a position for me to say that. So you're going to mark this down, because I want God to finish doing this great work in your soul that he's doing. I want you to stop kicking yourself, stop beating yourself down, put on your praise music, put on your listen to your scriptures, and just walk through your house and praise him and let the king wash you white as snow, because he's going to do it. You are precious to him. God tapped you when you were a little girl, and he called you, and he watched over you. If ever somebody's life wasn't in peril all the time, you are not that person. God watched over you because he had to get you out of this and get you out of that. There are situations even where I see with a young kid, when you were a young woman, with a teenage boy that God got you out of. I see situations with another man that God got you out of. God has a plan for you, and he watches over you carefully, but you and he are going to have to partner. It is time now for you and God to switch your relationship and for you to be the adult daughter that he needs to trust some kingdom stuff to. Do you understand?
I understand. I hear you, and I understand, because I'm supposed to be alive. my mother was alcoholic, and I was paralyzed in the womb. So I know.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
But God's going to grow you up. Here's the thing. We think because we age that we've matured. There's a difference between aging and maturing. These are things that go back in your roots. They have nothing to do with whether or not you could have avoided them. But it's time now for him to do this. Let his grace have its perfect work in you. And patience, because that's not your strong suit. He's going to let patience have its perfect work in you. And I'm telling you, you're going to say none of this was, I mean, you will always miss your son. I'm telling you, I can't imagine what it is for you to have to live through that. You will always miss your son, and you will all. But you don't have to always wonder if you could have changed it. You can take that misery and turn it into the great ministry that God has you mixing up for yourself today. There is nothing wrong about that. What I'm saying to you is that in 6 months, you're going to want to hear the answers I have, and in 6 months, you're going to be strong enough to hear them.
All right. All right.
Now, but is that fair enough?
That's fair. That's fair.
Okay. Because you and I are connected for this purpose. You need somebody that's going to not just say, hey, it's the devil and it's all right. You're going to need somebody to give you strength. You need tools. You're not a woman to appreciate somebody just saying, pat me on the back, it's going to be okay. You need answers. You're an intelligent lady. You like to walk things out. You like it to make sense. And you like to feel like you're going into something with bringing something to the table and being able to walk away with something. That is you. You're not the one that's going to be comfortable with all of these kind of church platitudes. So even though they've been trying to comfort you, you are very prophetic, and your instinct is telling you that there's something more God wants to say.
Yes, yes.
That is who you are, and that's how you got to be the counselor you are. You are a prober. You're going to probe. You're going to dig. You're going to ask all those questions because you know that at the root is where the deliverance is. Deliverance is always at the root. It's not ever in the fruit. It's always at the root. And so I'm going to pray for you. I'm telling you now, Mike, they've already heard me and back there in their back studio place. They've already written this down. But 6 months, sweetheart, you're going to be ready. And I'm going to talk with you, and I'm going to pray with you. But you're going to come to me. And before I get the words out, two-thirds of what I want to say, God's going to have you say to me.
Yes, I receive that. I receive that.
Okay. Okay, because we're going to connect. This is not a short-term thing for you and I. Father, thank you for Gwen. First of all, Lord, I'm asking you to continue doing what you let her see, open her eyes to see that you are literally holding her heart in your hand. Let her see the comfort and the consolation that you have already brought to her night after night in her sleep while she was weeping. God, I'm thanking you that you mend her broken heart, mend her broken soul, and strengthen her, God, for the victory that you have decreed she wrought in your name. Now, Lord, I speak to this whole situation with her finances. I speak to the powers that be in the air, and I say, loose her money and let her have her inheritance. God, I thank you that you will not let another husband rob his wife of her inheritance while he enjoys his own. God, I render a judgment on that as your apostle, and I judge that evil, and I judge that unrighteous in the name of Jesus. And I say, loose her inheritance and give her her money. And I thank you, Lord, that it's quick about it, and it's not going to drain her economy to do it in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, he is your son, even if he doesn't know it. I thank you that you live in his life. God, begin to work on his soul. Begin to work in his mind. Give him, take those fragmented pieces in his mind, God, pull them back together. Give him the privilege, the luxury, the gift of common sense and saneness of mind. God, I thank you that you order his steps. Whoever it is that he can listen to, God, set him in front of that person so that he can hear wisdom, so that they can tend to his brokenness as well and tend to his sadness of soul. God, I thank you that you give him purpose. He lacks purpose right now, God. He's wandering. He doesn't know why he's here. I thank you that you connect him with people that can put him in purpose, define purpose for him, and give him the clarity that he needs to be the man that he wants to be. I command that floating devil that steps in and out of his soul to cease and desist. I remand you to the abyss in the name of Jesus, and I expire your torment assignment against him. And God, I thank you that you would dispatch to him angels of lucidity and clarity and begin to bring this man back online. And God, I thank you that you connect him with what will bring out his best. And Lord, not tax his worth. Now, Lord, I thank you, God, for this family. I'm asking that you would continue to cover her ministry, cover her with the blood of the Lamb. God, I thank you that you would give her her courage back. Lord, she's like a fallen soldier. I'm thanking you that you would give her her courage back, that you would give her her strength back. And God, give her an opportunity to know that her labor is not in vain. God, give her that boldness that she's had. Cause her family to go up one more level in peace and in harmony and in wholeness in the awesome name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I dispatch healing to your home. I dispatch healing to your life. I dispatch restoration to you, woman of God. And I command that mind to come in line with the Holy Ghost. I command the torments of grief to stop right now in Jesus' name. And I call peace alive in you. From this day forward, you shall not live in agony and the torments of regret and self-doubt. That shall not be your inheritance, says the Holy Ghost. You will thrive and you will rise. And as much as you don't think it, your life is going to make sense again. And he's bringing you down through his path of righteousness into the fullness of his word on your life. So you be at peace. And I command those nightly torments and tortures to stop. And you rest, woman of God, and you rest in your Father, and you rest in the arms of your Savior, for that is what you do best. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen and amen.
Hallelujah.
You're God a precious woman.
God bless you.
Bless
God
you, my
God
love.
Bless you, bless you.
You are wonderful. We're going to talk again. Don't forget, 6 months, because you're going to be ready for me in that time.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Who's next?
We are actually done for the day. We
Ouch.
Are out of time. Yes. You know, those moments, that's what the prayer call is all about. When you know lives are immediately changed and that God has truly snatched somebody out of the clutches of darkness. So we are going to wrap the show for this week. You will be receiving an email for how to go and listen to this again, download it or embed it into your own website. We have a whole new system. You don't need a reference code. You don't need to dial back in. Everything can be done online. So we are going to close out with information on how you can connect with us, and we'll hear you on the call next week or tune in tomorrow to Dr. Price on the Paula Price Show, broadcasting out of Chicago.
Thank you for joining us on the Paula Price Show. If you would like to attend one of Dr. Price's upcoming events, book her for your own event, purchase products, or take a ministry assessment, visit us online at www.drpaulaprice.com or by phone at 877-419-1299. If you like what you heard today, become a Paula Price Show supporter for just $15 per month. That number again is 877-419-1299 or visit us online at www.drpaulaprice.com.